So the title of my message tonight is on meekness, and we're going to be looking at an example of meekness in Numbers chapter 12, verses 1 through 9. And this should be a familiar passage. It says here in our passage, it says, "And Miriam and Aaron spake against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman whom he had married, for he had married an Ethiopian woman. And they said, Hath the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses? Hath he not spoken also by us? And what? The Lord heard it." Don't think that all these things go unnoticed. God is not taken by surprise. Now, verse 3, it says, "Now the man Moses was very meek above all the men which were upon the face of the earth. And the Lord spake suddenly unto Moses and unto Aaron and unto Miriam, Come out, ye three, into the tabernacle of congregation. And they three came out. And the Lord came down in a pillar of cloud and stood in the door of the tabernacle and called Aaron and Miriam, and they both came forth. And he said, Hear now my words. If there be a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known unto him in a vision and will speak unto him in a dream. My servant is not so, who is faithful in all his house. With him will I speak mouth to mouth, even apparently, and not in dark speeches. In the similitude of the Lord shall he behold. Wherefore then were ye not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? And the anger of the Lord was kindled against them, and he departed." We see two classes of people here. We see Miriam and Aaron, Moses' siblings, wanting to get some of the action. They wanted to, on their own pride, they said, "Well, we're just as good as you are, Moses." And pride is the opposite of meekness. And so we see here two things as far as Moses is concerned. First of all, it's identified in the scripture that Moses was meek above all men at that time. Now, we know Moses had his own problems. Meekness, you can get angry. And in fact, he threw off the handle at Marah and hit the rock when he was told to speak to the rock because he got upset with Israel. And God answered and gave water, but he prevented Moses from going in. Meekness is something that we have to work at. And the other thing is that God rewards people who want to walk with him, who want to go to the other side, who want to get into the ship, who want to do what the Lord says to do. So tonight we're going to talk about meekness. And before we do that, let's look at God's definition. God's definition of meekness is summed up in his Son. In Matthew chapter 11, verse 29, it says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me." Christ is speaking. You know, in the previous verse, he says, "Come unto me, ye that are heavy laden," okay, "and burdened and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." But he says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek." So meekness has to have something to do with a yoke, okay? And it also has to do with being Christ-like. "For I am meek and what? Lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls." There's three things that you could say about meekness and kind of give a definition about it from a biblical perspective. The first one is patient restraint. Patient restraint. The second one is power under control. And when you think about that and you think about Moses, you know, Moses had it with the Israelites several times. God had more against them than Moses. And Moses intervened numerous times. But God said, "Stand out, get out of the way, and I'll make a nation out of you." And Moses came in and intervened. Moses, when he approached Pharaoh, He had power under control. He had patient constraint. We know about Christ. He was reviled, but he did not what? Revile again. There was no guile found in his mouth. And so when you're trying to think about what the characteristics are, it's gentleness and humbleness. You could be a very powerful person and still be gentle. Look at the animal kingdom. Look at a lion, very powerful, but gentle with their own family and their own cubs. But when you get a lion mad, you get him mad, and then you suffer the consequences for it. And for someone to be humble, remember, God resisteth the proud, but giveth what? Grace to the humble. And Christ himself was not proud at all. He was always humble. So take my yoke upon you and learn me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. If we are meek, then we will be more what? Christ-like. Now, the world has a different definition of it. And the world thinks that meekness is actually weakness. Weakness means a lack of power. Meekness says you have the power, but you have it under control. So they are diametrically opposite to each other. They're absolutely opposite. So tonight, very quickly, I want to talk about three things about meekness. The first thing we need to understand from a Christian perspective is considerations for having meekness. It's commanded for the believer. When Paul writes Timothy, in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 11, he says, "But thou, O man of God, flee these things." And he gives a laundry list of stuff to get rid of and not to be involved in before he gets to this verse. And what? Follow. Follow who? Follow Christ and his example. Follow others that are doing the right thing. And follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and then the last word is what? Meekness. So obviously God wants us to be meek. If Christ said, "Come and learn of me, because I am meek and lowly in heart," we need to be like that. So it's commanded for the believer. It's committed to the believer by the Spirit. In Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23, when it talks about the fruit of the Spirit, if you have the Holy Spirit, which you will have if you are saved, then this needs to be in your life. These characteristics need to be in your life. It says, but the fruit, not fruits, fruit. So the Spirit will give us all these things. These are things that we have to work on. Love. We could all love a little bit better, right? Joy. We could have more joy because God wants us to have joy unspeakable and full of glory. We all need more peace because there's a lot of storms going around in our life, aren't there? And we need Christ to say, "Peace, be still," to that. Long suffering. Ooh. You know, if you drive out on the road, you get long suffering. If you deal with the Texas heat, you get long suffering. There's a lot of things around here that give us long suffering. And another word for that is patience, okay? Gentleness, goodness. You know, we all need to be better about being good. We all could use more faith. But then what does verse 23 say? Meekness, temperance. Against such there is what? No law. You can't legalize or legislate meekness. You can't legislate what God wants you to be. You have to know who God is and have him in your heart for you to be like God. It's absolutely impossible any other way. So what we have here is we have two considerations for having meekness. First of all, it's commanded. The second thing is God's given us the ability to have it because we have the Holy Spirit. And we need to cultivate that fruit. Secondly, we need the characteristics of having meekness. And there's five of these. Now, what made Moses meek? Well, he was meek inwardly. He was meek inwardly. James chapter 1 verse 21 says this, "Wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with what? Meekness, the engrafted word, which is able to save your soul." Meekness is commanded. Meekness is committed to us through the Holy Spirit if we allow it to work. And if you don't have a meek spirit, you will not understand the Word of God. You will not get the Word of God. Remember what the Lord said to the three of them? He said, if you're all a prophet, you do that thing. But Moses, I want to speak to him face to face. He's going to see me. I want to speak to him personally because he's meek. And so we need to understand that in order to live out the Word, we need to receive it with what? Meekness. And we can't use it as something to lord over somebody else. The engrafted Word, which is what? Able to save your soul. So now if you have something inwardly, you got it outwardly. You know, the Pharisees never got that. Christ called them white as sepulchers because they looked good on the outside. They looked real religious on the outside. But inside they were empty. And I fear that there's Christians out there who call themselves Christians that look good on the outside, but down on the inside, it's empty. And folks, if you're empty inside, you don't have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, stop lying to yourself and stop lying to other people and get saved.
Amen.
Understand, you need meekness. You need meekness. And it says in Colossians chapter 3, verse 12, this morning we said about getting in the boat or walking a life of promise or the journey of promise is a choice. To be meek, to have the Holy Spirit work these things through our life, we have to make a choice. And this verse it says, put on therefore as the what? Elect of God. Everyone in here that knows Jesus Christ is the elect of God. Holy and beloved. Everyone in here that knows Jesus Christ should be holy. Everyone in here should be the apple of God's eye. Bowels of what? Mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long suffering. And folks, if we're like that, we won't look like the world. That is absolutely opposite because the world's got a different definition of what meekness is. So the characteristics of having meekness is inwardly. You're willing to receive God's Word and God's Spirit. Outwardly, because you can show it out, and then it'll manifest itself in your life. In 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 4, it says, but let it be the what? Hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the what? The ornament of a meek and quiet spirit. You know, sometimes when you're in the military, you have some special rope or some sort of cord or something like that to identify you that you're on special duty. Okay? And what we are, we're on special duty for God. It says here, even as the ornament of a what? Meek and quiet spirit. So we don't have a meek and quiet spirit, we're not wearing God right. It says, which is in the what? Sight of God of what? Great price. So the characteristic of having meekness is inward. It's outward. It's manifest so others can see it. And then it manifests itself fourthly in service. In Galatians chapter 6 verse 1 it says, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are what? Spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Okay, so what does that really mean? Let's talk about correcting somebody. But there's a bigger point here. Everything we do for God needs to be done with humbleness and with meekness. It's not about us. It's about Him. It's not about our power. It's about being used of Him to show His power that no one can. Moses was a great example of that when you think about it. He did call down those plagues and did all sorts of, met with God and got the law and all those things because he was willing to listen to God. And if you have a meek spirit, you want to listen. If you have a meek spirit, you want to help people because you'll have compassion. And lastly, characteristic of having meekness is in testimony. Is in testimony. In 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15, it says, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts." Now, have you seen a common word in all these verses? Heart. This is a heart matter. A relationship with Christ is a heart matter. Everything comes out of the heart. Okay? As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. It is a heart issue. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. And be ready always to what? Give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you. How? With meekness. That's a characteristic that we need to have. And what else? Fear. That's respect that we have for God. So we see here the conditions for considerations for being meek. We see the characteristics of having meekness. And you know, the issue is that there's got to be an incentive. You know, we always work on incentive. There's got to be a reason why we should be like this. There are consequences of having meekness. And in my last point tonight, I want to show four things about what a meek person gets. We already saw with Moses that God called him out and said, he's meek. And he spoke to him face to face. And he says, my servant Moses is not like you. Not like you. So the consequences of having meekness, the first thing is you're satisfied. You're satisfied. It's not about you. It's about what God gives you. It's about Him supplying your need. In Psalm chapter 22, verse 6, it says, the meek shall eat and be what? Satisfied. They shall praise the Lord that seek them. Your heart shall live forever. Are you satisfied? Are you satisfied with your condition? Are you satisfied with your relationship with God? He should satisfy us. And if you're looking for something more, you need to ask Him, not go looking for it somewhere else. See, the first consequence of having meekness is that you are satisfied. The second one is this. You'll be guided. You'll be guided. In Psalm chapter 25, verse 9, it says, the meek will He guide in judgment. And the meek will He teach His way. Maybe we're trying to figure out where to go, what to do. Maybe meekness is the key to get this. Maybe we need to be still and know that He's God. Maybe we need to have Him put peace in our life. The consequence of having meekness is that you're satisfied. The second thing is, you'll be guided. The third thing is, you'll be sustained. You'll be sustained. In Psalm 147, verse 6, the Lord lifteth up the meek. He casteth the wicked down to the ground. Now, which one would you want to be? It's obvious here. I want God to lift me up. I want God to sustain me. And then fourthly, you will be rewarded. Psalm 37, verse 11. Also, Christ talked about it in the Beatitudes. But the meek shall inherit the earth. Okay? That's the first thing. You got an inheritance coming. We already have heaven. That's good enough. But one day we're going to rule with Christ for 1,000 years. And that's the benefit of being meek. The second one is this. And shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. See, being meek and having peace. Being meek and being satisfied. Being meek and being guided. Being meek and being sustained. Being meek and having the fruit of the Spirit. It's all connected. It's all connected. What should we do? We ought to be meek. We ought to be meek. That should be the characteristic of our life. So tonight, do you know Christ as your Savior? And if you do, great. If not, this is an opportunity. You can come and we'll show you from God's Word how you get saved. But for us who are Christians, are we meek enough? We can be better at that, can't we? We can be better at love. We can be better at all those things, the fruit of the Spirit. And so let's give that to God tonight. And say, Lord, help me to be more meek. Let's stand. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for this time. Lord, just ask you this time of invitation. Father, we just ask that you search our heart. And Father, just help us to get rid of ourselves and just rest in you. Lord, help us to be guided by you, to be satisfied by you, to be sustained by you, to be rewarded by you for your glory. Lord, I pray tonight that we could be more like you, that we could be meek and lowly in heart, and that we will be yoked by you, and that we will follow you wherever you want us to go, whatever you want us to do, with whoever you want us to be with. Help us to be surrendered to you tonight. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.